receive a donation receipt. Vehicle donations have the potential to drive hundreds and sometimes even thousands of dollars to WBAI. Call 866-WBAI-CAR or visit WBAI.org/donateyourcar.
Time passed. Many romantic feelings were associated with radio broadcasting, as with aviation, with motoring across the far western United States.
50 years ago, a young genius made a classic that could never be retold. Now, it must be told again.
This is Peter Rickman on All Mixed Up.
And I am all mixed up, but not so confused, not so habitually bewildered that I don't listen to WBAI when I come to town to Gotham. I love New York and I love BAI.
You're tuned to High Five.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I suspect it's right around 5 a.m., and you're listening to All Welcome to the Moon, Japan Radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things on this program, and you can find out a little bit more about what we're talking about by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest back of the book program links. Click on that and you will get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 163rd pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story on the moon and in other celestial bodies for this past week is: we are currently holding on to the utterly amazing total of 124 followers on Twitter, or X, or whatever it's called right now. Oh, such a gigantic number. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, February 14th, 2024, at 7 p.m. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We will probably, if things hold as they have for the past 20 years, be getting people onto national board committees at that meeting. And yes, this meeting that's coming up on Valentine's Day, oh, I'm sure there will just be so much love in the air at that meeting. That meeting will be the 20th anniversary. The real 20th anniversary would be February 19th, but we're not meeting on that date. But The WBAI local station board has existed. The whole governance structure has existed for 20 years now. And oh boy, oh boy, I have been to each and every one of the legal WBAI local station board meetings. Some of them were not legal. And that should be the 237th meeting of the WBAI local station board. Again, legal meeting, in the past 20 years. Oh, I've been to every one of those legal meetings. Oh, man. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has their CDC website, and they're putting out information on the death toll from the COVID-19 pandemic again. They say that as of their last reading, which is really a week ago, the death toll in America from COVID-19 was 1,169,666, which means that 2,456 people have died from COVID-19 since our last program 1 week ago. So the death rate is significantly higher this week. It's winter, of course, and infectious diseases usually spread more rapidly and efficiently at this time. The fact that some people are oblivious to COVID-19 because they think that the pandemic is over is probably also contributing to that death rate. The pandemic is clearly not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We've gotten our new shots. They're not so new anymore, but we've gotten our latest shots. We don't want to get this disease. So on back of the book, we've been talking about global warming, which we started talking about back in the 80s, and which became climate change and is now the climate crisis. And we've been talking about this for, oh gosh, 35, 37 years, something like that. And Pickles of the North is going to tell us about some new findings about the year 2023.
Yes, R. Paul, and this is one of the best depictions I've seen to illustrate what has been going on in our world. And it's in the Tuesday New York Times on the front page, but below the fold. And man, looking at this graph, it seems like it should be just reprinted as a full page thing because it is really important. And it's used to illustrate an article. The graph was made by the European Union's Copernicus Climate Change Service. Oh, and it's about how 2023 has turned out to be the hottest year since record-keeping began and possibly beyond that. And it shows the beginning of course, the change in climate with the Industrial Revolution. And, you know, it's not like looking at a set of stairs. It's just, it's breathtaking, really. Have you had a chance to look at this?
Yeah, this is a pretty drastic-looking graph here.
Especially when you look at the global temperature from the 1850s to 1900, and then just look at the decades beyond that. It really is astounding.
The graph here actually goes from the 1940s to 2023, and it has a baseline of the average temperature for the years 1850 to 1900. Now, the Industrial Revolution really started at about 1800, so even this baseline may be slightly up from the average the Earth had been in for thousands of years before that. However, we could see that in the 1940s through the 60s, there was a whole lot of back and forth, and the temperature rise from their zero point was about 0.6 degrees Celsius. And so then the 1970s, it goes similar like that, except toward the end, the very end of the 1970s, suddenly there's a little blip that goes up to about 0.8 degrees Celsius. Then you got the 1980s, which are higher. In general, the 1980s are about 2.5 degrees Celsius higher than what had been shown for the 1970s. So stuff really started happening there. The 90s were a bit higher than that. The 2000s were higher than that, getting into being about 1.2 degrees Celsius higher. And the 2010s were mostly about 1.4 degrees Celsius higher, but peaking a little bit here and there at 1.6 degrees. And then you get to the 2020s, which we're only 3 years into, really, 3 or 4 years into. And 2023 stands out tremendously because 2023 is much higher. Holy hell. And in the Times, they say that basically this chart, which, by the way, 2023 goes off the chart. Oh,
it's like they, you know, when you'd see a cartoon, an old cartoon, and they have a board and they show the line going up and up and oh, and then it goes onto the wall. And yeah,
it's almost like that. I guess they thought of that when they were
possibly
putting this illustration on the front page. In any event, for all of 2023, temperatures worldwide were 1.48 degrees Celsius or 2.66 degrees Fahrenheit higher. They're higher than they were for the second half of the 19th century. So this is their baseline, 1850 to 1900, and we were altogether about 2.66 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than the world was between 1850 and 1900. And this is even significantly warmer than 2016, which is now the second hottest year ever on record. Oh, boy, this is some stuff. Go ahead, my dear.
Yes, and this is used to illustrate an article called 2023 was the hottest year in over a century. It's by Raymond Chong. And it also, above the actual article, they have another illustration from the same organization. And it shows the entire world and how hot the land masses got and the bodies of water. And it's pretty startling. And even for people that follow this and are concerned about this, this is really yikes. And the information about this hottest year was gathered by three different groups: the European Union's Copernicus Climate Change Service that made that graph, NASA scientists, and NOAA. And they all agree. And let me just read a little bit from the article. Scientists can now confirm what month after month of extraordinary heat worldwide began signaling long ago. Last year was Earth's warmest by far in a century and a half. Global temperatures started rising past records mid-year and did not stop. First, June was the planet's warmest June on record, then July was the warmest July, and so on all the way through December. It comes as no surprise to climate scientists that unabated emissions of greenhouse gases caused global warming to reach new highs. What researchers are still trying to understand is whether 2023 foretells many more years in which heat records are not merely broken, but smashed. Every tenth of a degree of global warming represents extra thermodynamic fuel that intensifies heat waves and storms, adds to rising seas, and hastens the melting of glaciers and ice sheets. So this is really
something. The stuff people were saying years ago, which other people were saying then and are still saying now, oh, that's not real, that's make-believe, is coming true. We're seeing it. I mean, you know, there was a snow tornado we saw on TV the other day.
Yes, which was really quite an amazing sight to see. And at least something of that size is not going to, like, endanger people. or other creatures, but it's still an oddity that may become just part of the very short winters that we have in this part of the hemisphere.
Well, yeah, it's also going to affect all of our food.
Well, that is the other thing, yes. That is the other thing, and this is why we are seeing, you know, climate refugees all over the world.
Yeah,
it's really something. The very last paragraph of this article is interesting. But scientists will need to continue studying the data to understand whether other factors might be at work too, said one of the researchers, Katrina von Schuckmann, an oceanographer at Mercator Ocean International in Toulouse, France. Something unusual is happening that we don't understand, she said. Whoa.
Yes, because it is such a dynamic system. It's dynamic and it's gigantic. Only recently, in the past half century, they've been able to watch so much of what's happening with the weather on the Earth, and then you add up your weather and you get climate. And they've been able to do that. I remember at one point, I think it was in the 70s, reading an article that said, if only the weather could be predicted 3 days in advance, it would save American farmers billions and billions of dollars a year because they'd know what was coming. Because back in the 60s and 70s, of course, earlier, you couldn't predict the weather 3 days in advance. Now they do a very good job of it, and they are seeing, they're able to see what's going on. Back in the 50s, I don't know if anybody even said, hey, this is going on. I know in the 60s, I was reading about this stuff in some esoteric magazines, and I said, wowee. And now it is happening, and we still have people, especially politicians, who are saying, that isn't happening. It's not going on. You know, there's no such thing as climate change. They are still heavily invested in that. And it is undeniable at this point that it is happening. Now, hard to pin down any particular event, any particular weather event, as being caused by climate change, but they sure sort of look like it. I think in about 10 years, various things will happen that will definitely be will meet the scientific criteria for saying that, yeah, this weather event or these weather events are absolutely being caused by the climate change, the climate crisis.
And this is an instance where artificial intelligence could be beneficial to go through all the data. I mean, weather is so complicated.
Yeah.
It is so complicated. Complex.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. She is radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin.
One more quote from this article. When scientists combine their satellite readings with geological evidence on the climate's more distant past, 2023 also appears to be among the warmest years in at least 100,000, said Carlo Buontempo, director of the European Union Climate Monitor. There were simply no cities, no books, agriculture, or domesticated animals on the planet the last time the temperature was so high, he said.
Yeah. Jesus. There was no civilization 100,000 years ago.
Yeah.
You just had people wandering around. There was no agriculture. You had people being mostly hunter-gatherers, mostly scavengers, and they did some hunting. And that was it for humanity 100,000 years ago. And they weren't having a big effect on the planet at that point in time. But, yeah, that sure has changed, hasn't it?
Well, it has. But we are here, we are part of nature, and we are going to have to figure our way out of this as much as we possibly can. Of course, the other thing that has changed are the seasons. We seem to have a long fall, short winter, as in evidence right now for those of us living here in the tri-state area and across the nation and across the continent. We have a short spring and a long summer. So, and this sort of like week of winter that we've been having right now makes me think of the week of winter in the book 2140, New York 2140 by Kim Stanley Robinson. And in that book, which really concentrates on New York City and what has happened to it because of climate change.
Of course, it's science fiction.
Science fiction,
so
yes.
Far.
Yeah, so far, but based, you know, science fiction is often a great predictor of what's going to happen. And the city of New York is basically, well, it's got canals. There aren't any streets anymore. But I just want to read you a little brief excerpt about one of the days in the week of winter that they're having in 2140. And basically, two of the characters have decided to go ice skating. Let's see here. So they went ice skating. A polar vortex had struck the area the week before, and it was still cold out, very cold. It was so cold that the whole of New York Harbor had frozen over. People were now driving trucks on the canals and over the Hudson to Hoboken, and even all the way out to the Verrazano Narrows, as the sea surface was frozen about 2 miles out from there. From time to time, the Hudson's ice cracked, and the big plates of it shoved up and tilted at the sky. So she skated with Nicole up and down Broadway from Union Square to 34th, feeling the chill air in her lungs, nose tingling, feeling all the glorious feelings of being out in winter under a pale sky, the sun just barely clearing the horizon to the south, casting long shadows to the north from all the buildings. It was like they had all been transported to an ice planet somewhere, and yet there were the same familiar buildings and delis and kayak stores, with the only difference being the canals were a solid, if dirty, white. The city had even put some real buses back on the streets, old buses with new motors. That made the views up and down the steel canyons look like old photos. But with ice skaters replacing taxis, walkers had to stay near the buildings or risk the fate of inattentive jaywalkers during the old days. Yes, so only time will tell if the world of New York 2140 comes true.
Yeah, this is, and, you know, I am not going to be around in the second half of this century, or at least I will not be around for very long in the second half of this century. I'm probably never going to get there. But the thing is, there are so many young people who are going to be in their 40s when this gets really bad, because by about 2050, the bleep is really hitting the fan, and it's going to get much worse. Now, that's if somehow they can step on the brakes and really stop, you know, accelerating it right now. It'll still keep on going through inertia on into probably the end of this century, maybe a bit into the 22nd century. And so all these changes are going to keep on happening, changes we can't really guess about too easily. People originally thought, oh, things would just get warm. I'm talking about back in, I think it was the 60s when I was first reading about this. Oh, it'll just get warmer, and golly, one person did predict that if it got warm enough, the oceans would no longer be so cold, and being a bit warmer, they would give up their carbon dioxide, because carbon dioxide, unlike some other substances, carbon dioxide dissolves in water best at chilly temperatures. If you have it too cold or too hot, the carbon dioxide comes boiling out of the water. And they were talking then about, gee whiz, and this was really super speculative, gee whiz, there could be a situation where you have such hot water, it doesn't have to be boiling, just, you know, several degrees higher than what it had been, and it will no longer be able to hold on to the carbon dioxide, and that will come bubbling out, and that will make the climate greenhouse effect worse. And they were concerned, and by the time we were wondering about this, it was the 70s, and there was one speculation that, gee whiz, this could result in a real runaway greenhouse effect that we could do nothing about if the oceans are too warm and the carbon dioxide's coming out of them. There's nothing you can do about that. You can't cool down the damned ocean. You can't capture all the carbon dioxide it's whipping up out of the entire surface of the ocean. I mean, most of the surface of the earth is water. So, oh boy. So they were speculating about things then. That could probably still happen at some point. Not going to happen right away, I think, but they weren't talking about the storms and things yet. The first time I heard the idea that gee whiz, this could cause storms to be worse was when I was saying it on the air. This was really speculative. This was like in, I guess, the 80s. And the basic deal is that when you warm things up, the molecules of air are wiggling around generally. And that's what makes it hotter. It feels hotter to you because you're getting hit by more molecules of air per second. However, and that's kinetic energy. The molecules of air have a certain amount of kinetic energy from the heat. When they get enough energy, it's really, you know, it'll fry you. But it's not going to get that high. But the thing is, there's nothing requiring that they stay chaotic. And so kinetic energy is also what gets behind those same molecules of air, oxygen and nitrogen for the most part, and instead of just having them wiggle around and get physically hotter, they move. And they move in a direction, and that's how you get wind. And this mostly comes out of the sun heating up some bits of the atmosphere more than others, and it has to do with, you know, convection, stuff wells up. Oh, anyway, so that's why we also get these big storms that are happening, and there's really a serious possibility we're going to get storms that are going to do unheard of damage by the middle of this century. It's something that probably hasn't happened since, I don't know, since the dinosaurs got killed, which they didn't. Well, they got it from the mostly from the asteroid, although there were volcanoes in India that did a lot. But the thing is, this is going to result in super duper storms that, geez, they'll have to change building codes because there won't be a roof anywhere that will be able to stand some of these winds, and there will be probably a lot more shelters from not just things like tornadoes, which will also be a lot more of, and which will be in higher latitudes, but there will also be just ordinary straight-line winds that will be unheard of in their speed. Hurricanes and typhoons will get much stronger. This is what we're facing, and there are still people saying it's nonsense, and other people elect some of them to office. God, we're screwed.
All you of Earth are idiots.
And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. As noted earlier, Japan has become the 5th country to send a spacecraft to make a soft landing on the moon. They made it. Others didn't. And the spacecraft is named Smart Lander for Investigating Moon. Or SLIM, S-L-I-M. Oh, I don't know if that's... there will be jokes about this, I am certain. SLIM was intended to demonstrate precision landing. It was going to get within 100 yards of the exact spot it was supposed to land on. That's orders of magnitude better than most moon landings have been able to do. And SLIM landed near a small crater named Scioli today in the equatorial region of the moon's near side. It's a good thing to put it on the near side, because if you put it on the far side, you're probably never going to hear from it again. So, yes, so SLIM is on the moon. Oh, there are all sorts of jokes we can do about that. But we'll try to restrain ourselves and keep going here. So they've landed this morning, Friday morning, as I said. We do this program. We record it on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. And so on Friday morning, it landed on the moon. And it's a soft landing. It didn't crash, as some other attempts have done on the moon. It hit the moon at like 500 miles an hour or something. And, yeah, you know, I guess you got some of your technology up there, but it didn't last. And so, yeah, SLIM is up there. I'm reading that SLIM landed on uneven terrain and was tilted maybe as much as 15 degrees off center. I'm also reading that SLIM's solar panels were not generating power. That means that the lander may only be able to operate on the charge that's already in its batteries, and that's going to last for some limited number of hours, not terribly long. The people at the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, which is Japan's version of NASA, were looking to get the solar panels operational last I read about this. I suppose that it's possible that the solar panels can't open up because the craft is tilted at that angle. I'm not sure if that's actually it. It might just be that they're opened up, but there may be some electrical fault, or maybe because they're at an angle, they're in shadow and can't generate electricity. Hard to tell what's going on there. But at least Japan was able to put the lander where they wanted to put it and get it very close. You know, previously, if you got within miles of what you were aiming at, that was a bullseye. Now Japan within 100 yards of where they're gonna do it. And so that was good. And, of course, that makes me also think about how precise nuclear weapons can be made. But anyway, they've been able to make those that precise for some years, so I shouldn't get too much into that. SLIM was launched last September, along with an X-ray space telescope called PRISM, which is now working in low Earth orbit.
And it carried two little robot probes with it. Oh, my gosh, and they're rolling around on the moon right now.
Oh, are the robot probes going?
Yeah, I think they have their own power source. The company that makes, you know, the Transformers, those toys,
yes.
They helped out with, because they are, for decades, they've been making toys, you know, and with miniature stuff and everything, and so they assisted in that. And they really are cool looking, so I'm glad that they're able to operate
well
on the moon.
They brought tiny robots up to the moon.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Well, one hopes that...
Tiny round robots. Like a softball, yeah.
Yeah. And I hope that the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency can fix the solar panels and all, so they can power the damn thing, because it would be a shame if this whole thing lasted mere hours. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure what happens is those little round robots will... transmit to the mothership, and that will beam information to the Earth, and that ain't going to work out if the mothership runs out of juice. So, oh well, I hope they can work this out. That part is unfortunate, but there it is. So, now five nation states have landed stuff softly on the moon. It's the Soviet Union, United States of America, the so-called People's Republic of China, India, and now Japan. So, oh boy, everybody's going to the moon, folks. Of course, Donnie Bonespur Trump is still in the news. He's causing chaos in another courtroom now. And this is the second E. Jean Carroll defamation case against him. And they're just, once again, they're just having the jury decide how much he's going to be made to pay her. She's asking for $10 million this time. And the judge has threatened to send Trump out of the courtroom. And Trump said he'd love that. And the judge said, yeah, I know you would. So the judge is trying to keep him in the courtroom and not send him out because that gives him more propaganda stuff for his campaign. God, how insane are some people that they say the more illegal this guy gets, the worse he behaves, the more we want to vote for him for president of the United States. I don't understand this at all. In any event, the deal is you can't trust Trump. Last time we talked about another judge allowing him to make a few statements, which he shouldn't have done. He should have said, no, you rejected that. You don't get to make a closing statement. Sit down, you slob. And, well, he probably shouldn't have put those last few words in there. But unfortunately, what he did was say, oh, well, we'll let him go. And Trump then went off on his usual tirade in what's been described as a stream of consciousness thing of all the stuff he says all the time. And the judge eventually shut him down and asked his lawyers to control him. Apparently, one of his lawyers in this case can't control herself. She's getting nailed by the judge for being, well, not the best lawyer he's ever seen, okay? Anyway, so, yeah, you can't trust him, and you can't trust his lawyers, and he's going to keep doing this. He knows how it's working. The judges in cases have got to get a handle on this. You know, at some point, there is a thing called contempt of court. And if the judge says, no, don't do that, stop that, and you keep doing that, if you're an ordinary person, the judge says you're in contempt of court. And you get fined. Most of the time you get fined. Most people say, oh boy, the fine is, you know, a little stiff here. He's rich, apparently. So he can afford a lot of these contempt of court fines. But in the criminal case, you can put him in jail. You can say, okay, you fine him a couple of times. You say, okay, that's not working. So the other remedy is I'm allowed to put you in jail for X number of days. And so put him in jail for a week and treat him as a prisoner. He doesn't get to make press releases. He doesn't get to get on TV. He doesn't get to do a lot of things that people who are not in jail get to do. He gets to be in jail. They can let the Secret Service hang out with him, but they got to watch them too, because I think the Secret Service detail he has is bonded with him, and I think there's, I wouldn't be surprised if there were funny business between them and Trump. But anyway, he's had this going on, and at some point he has to face jail in order to be held accountable for how he behaves in court. And maybe being in jail for a week would make it so that he would say, gee, I better not do that crap anymore. And in a criminal case, I think he has to show up every day. In a civil case, he doesn't have to. He was trying to say, oh, I have to attend a funeral. But the judge said, you don't have to be here. Go attend your funeral if you want. And so that didn't work. They tried to trick the judge into extending everything. He's a terrible person. And then there is currently a World Economic Forum meeting in Davos, Switzerland. I'm amazed. They didn't invite me. Why, I am the treasurer of the WBAI local station board, and I was not invited to the World Economic Forum meeting in Davos, Switzerland. I am so insulted. If I'd been there, I would have upset a few people. Anyway, so at this World Economic Forum meeting, they're saying unofficially that Trump is going to be reelected in 2024. I think maybe it's just wishful thinking, you know? It's been pointed out they've been wrong by about a lot of things in the past. Plus, they won't say it openly. But a reporter from the New York Times is talking to some of them unofficially, you know, off the record, not to be named, not for attribution. And they're telling them, yeah, Trump's going to get reelected in 2024. And, oh, man, I certainly hope they're wrong, but maybe they're so stupid. Remember, being rich doesn't mean you're smart, although some rich people try to make it seem that way. And so, well, they're saying that he's going to win, but they won't go on the record saying it. You know, courage of convictions and all of that, they ain't got any. So I think it might just be wishful thinking on the part of these business executives and CEOs of companies. However, I think that if Trump wins, maybe these big CEOs will regret their wish because they're going to be in a world where their business is probably not going to flourish under a fascist dictatorship, which is what he will metamorphose into. He will start out as awfully bad and get much worse. Oh, boy, I hope we don't have to face that. I hope that remains the stuff of novels of the future. Speaking of right-wing jackasses, Fox has canceled the ads for that patented pillow guy who wanted Trump to institute martial law a couple of years ago. That guy, I don't want to mention his name. He's a jackass, and I'm fed up with him and his stupid commercials and his announcements on TV and elsewhere.
You mean Mr. Schmuck?
Anyway, this jackass, the pillow guy, made an announcement on Twitter or X or whatever it's called that, quote, Fox News just canceled, unquote, his pillow ads on Fox. So the pillow jerk had hired the infamous Lou Dobbs, who had been fired from hosting his Lou Dobbs Tonight Show after Fox had to settle a lawsuit with Dominion Voting Systems for nearly $800 million last year. Yeah, you just cost us $800 million, you jackass. We don't want to keep paying you anymore. And so the guy who has patented a pillow thinks that's why Fox isn't running his ads anymore. Wouldn't that be something, you know, revenge? Isn't revenge something these right-wing guys are heavily into? So, gee whiz, why would he not expect that or applaud revenge, even though it's against him? Anyway, pillow dope had Dobbs on his podcast spewing the same lies about the 2020 election recently that had resulted in Fox getting hit with that gigantic settlement. And that patented pillow I'm reading has also been taken off the shelves of quite a number of stores in the past couple of years because of this guy. Fox News had its own response. Fox News has said that the ad partnership was paused because the pillow merchant has not been able to finance the commercial spots. A Fox spokeswoman said, quote, as soon as their account is paid, we would be happy to accept their advertising, unquote. I think Pillow Jerk is also, well, he's facing lawsuits too because he's been pushing a lot of this nuttiness. And he also, I think, has had trouble with lawyers. He can't pay them. And he's going to be facing companies that have already struck down Fox News. He isn't nearly as big as they are, and he's maybe broke or close to broke. So, yeah, he's going to be, you know, getting a legal aid lawyer to defend him in defamation trials and stuff that have gotten awards of, I think it's $787 million against Fox. So he's going to be facing this stuff, too. And there are various lawsuits he's facing. And, oh, boy, at some point we may see his silly ads not being anywhere. And I don't know what will happen to him then. I don't know if he has any criminal charges against him, but he certainly has enough civil stuff so that he's going to be standing on a street corner holding up his pillows saying, please buy my pillows. I think a lot of people would look forward to that.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
Now, we don't drive. Pickles doesn't drive. I don't drive. I failed the eye test in 1968, and my eyesight has not improved since then. And so we don't drive, so we're not, you know, big on a lot of things that drivers note. But some drivers are going to get fewer chuckles as they drive around. There is coming a federal ban on humorous electronic highway messages, and that's going to happen in 2026. The U.S. Federal Highway Administration, which is a division of the Department of Transportation, has issued a new 1,100-page manual that regulates electronic traffic signs and other traffic control devices, and it prohibits posting humorous messages that could distract drivers or be misunderstood. Oh, my, oh, my. Yeah, they do things. They will put up humorous messages at times. I think they also use some of those electronic signs. And these are like those big electronic signs that they're supposed to use to say, oh, you know, the exit at exit 347 is closed right now. Continue on to exit 348, stuff like that. And they're electronic. They didn't used to have those when I was a kid. But they're gigantic signs that go across an entire highway, and they give you advice. And they say, you know, there's fire, or watch out, icing ahead, and stuff like that. And it's better than the old signs that if you wanted to say icing ahead, you stuck a sign in the ground that said icing ahead, and people would drive along in the bright summer time when it's 95 degrees, and they would see a icing ahead sign, and, you know, they would disregard it after that as well.
Is the very nature of these signs the thing they think is distracting, or just the message?
The message. It's the message. I wonder if somebody will say, hey, this violates the First Amendment. I'm sure somebody could file a lawsuit on that, but I don't know if anybody's going to. And the deal is they put up all manner of humorous messages, and some examples are they put on one of the signs, buckle up, windshields hurt, which, you know, means obviously if you're traveling along fast and you get stopped very suddenly, you're going to go through the windshield and it's going to hurt. Well, I don't see that as a bad thing. I mean, it's a snide remark, but you're talking about something serious, and, you know, maybe that snideness will get somebody's attention and say, oh, maybe I should put on my seatbelt, which, by the way, you should wear a seatbelt if you're driving a motor vehicle on a highway. And that is another one. We'll be blunt. Don't drive high. Well, that's kind of amusing, and I don't think that will really have much of an effect on people who are blowing joints. God, I remember in the Army, our main driver was never not completely loaded. Holy hell. Anyway, the other one I see is tailgating is for football, not highways. And that's good. Tell them, you know, don't tailgate. But I guess the feds are getting very strict here. And, you know, it's like being in grammar school. No, you can't make that funny. You have to make that plain and understandable. Okay, teacher. Well, there you go. Let's take all the humor out of driving around.
Yeah. And you know, Arpal, people, many people who are driving are spending more time looking down at the screens in their car than out the window at the traffic or
those signs.
So, for crying out loud.
Don't drive, take the train. Yes, and the train we want you to take is the WBAI pitching train. Yes, the sad hobos on the WBAI pitching train are asking you to call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Yes, that's the name of this program, Back of the Book. A BAI buddy is the name we have for sustaining members at WBAI. And what that means is when you call up and become a BAI buddy, you will be saying you want to donate to WBAI on a monthly basis. And what you do is you call 1-212-209-2950, say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and you give them your credit card or debit card number, and then you tell them how much you want to donate to WBAI on a monthly basis. You can donate as little as $10 a month. And you can do that and you will end up, you know, $10 a month isn't a gigantic amount of money for most people. And if you do that on a monthly basis, you will end up at the end of the year having donated $120 to WBAI. You can also, if you want, donate at $15 a month or $20 a month or more if you please. But the deal is it's something that's made so that you set it up and then it just goes. And you will give the people at the call center that pick up, besides your credit card or debit card number and telling them how much you want to donate every month, you can also tell them at what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card charged. And that way it will not be charged at a time that's inconvenient for you. Again, 1-212-209-2950. WBAI is now 64 years old. January 10th, 1960, WBAI became a Pacifica station. Before that, it had been a commercial station, and before that, it had been an experimental station. And so WBAI has been around for 64 years, which some people think is quite amazing in and of itself, but we are in trouble right now. We need to raise money. We need to bring up the revenue. I'm the treasurer of the WBAI local station board, and I can tell you that we are going to have a serious deficit budget for FY24, the first quarter of which is already gone, if we don't raise more money. And there are people who have designs on WBAI who would like to sell this radio station because Pacifica owns the radio station. Pacifica owns five radio stations. WBAI is the one in New York. And there are people in Pacifica who would like to sell BAI and use the money to shore up their own radio stations, which are also having trouble making money. So we got to do a good showing. We got to show that we can raise money. And the way we do that is to get you to go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950, and tell the person who picks up you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And, oh boy, we need you to do that. 1-212-209-2950. As I've said in the past, there are also people with proposals to fix the money problem by renting out BAI's signal from midnight to 6 a.m. That would wipe out all of the overnight programs 7 days a week. You are listening to an overnight program right now if you're listening to it on the air. And because it's an overnight program, it does things a little differently from those middle-of-the-day programs. If you want to keep the overnights, and I mean all of the overnights, going, please call 1-212-209-2950 and pledge some amount of money every month to WBAI. Again, you can pledge to just do $10 a month, and they'll take that, or more if you can. Please do that. Call 1-212-209-2950, and we'll thank you if you do. You can write to me, rpm@glib.com, and you can tell me you did it, if you did it. All right, that's the pitch. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is...
Everything Old is New Again, Again, with Mr. David Kenny.
David Kenny, again. We are preempted next week for a fundraising special. We should be back here on February 3rd. Enjoy what weather you can. And above all, remember what that wanting to go to the moon Dormouse said.
From Brooklyn. Claudette says, keep up the awesome work, WBAI. The work you do in sharing information that would normally not be shared on mass media and essential news programs. Keep running the information that the public doesn't hear anywhere else. Keep informing us on news that the public needs. Thank you so much, Claudette. We love your message to us, and thank you for your contribution. You can join Claudette, who contributed to WBAI for the MLK Collection, with a gift to keep the station running. She gave us $75. Give us whatever you can. Join her and others who support WBAI. Please call 212-209-2950. Become a sustaining member, a WBAI, a BAI buddy, or a contributor. 212-209-2950. Or go to our website, WBAI.org. Click on the green square with the peace dove on it and become a BAI buddy, a contributor. Call 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org. Or, there's always an or, send a check or a money order to Pacifica-WBAI. It's tax deductible. Send it to WBAI of any amount. Send it to 388 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, Brooklyn, New York, 11217.
I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to your stopping by.
I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Funny, this radio hasn't been working very well the past few days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
I wonder whatever became of
it. Now, will you tell me what happened on Saturday?
All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp.
What?
Saturday afternoons at 6 here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time.
I should have been back here a long time ago.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
This is Christian McBride, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.